Well, I want to share, first of all, my screen with you and talk about something that I've got on my heart and that I believe God wants for us. And it's all about walking with God in the midst of uncertainty. And I'm aware that there are people who are dealing with different situations at the moment. And first of all, I really feel like the Lord wants to encourage people that He knows where each and every one of us is at. He knows what we're facing. He knows the personal challenges that we have, health issues that we're dealing with, the concerns that are on our heart. We can't have a thought in our mind or a concern that touches our life without Him being intimately aware of it and raise the message on Jesus being in the boat with us in the midst of the storm. That was so good because He is. Doesn't matter what we're facing, what we're going through. The Lord said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and I'll get you through to the other side. And that's the confidence that we can have in Him that He's with us. And even in the midst of a global pandemic, God is with us. We may be in lockdown and we may be in our own little wee houses at the moment, spread throughout Auckland. That's fine. God is with us. There is no distance in the realm of the spirit. And we can meet together, we can walk together, and we're going to do that. We're going to walk this out together. We don't know what this looks like. We don't know what the next stage is. We don't know what church looks like moving forward, but we don't need to know because we know the one who holds all of it in His hand. So I want to go through this morning just some aspects that I found on my heart regarding walking with God in this time. So the first one that I want to highlight is know His heart. When we know who He is and His heart towards us, then as Ray said, perfect love casts out fear. We don't need to live in fear because we know who He is and we know that He is good. And Ray made reference to Romans 8 as well, not being separated from the love of God. And I like verse 38 in the Passion Translation, which says, so now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that His love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken His love. That's such an amazing promise for us to hold on to. And I've got there on the screen, what we know of God gives us confidence. And my encouragement is hold on to what you know. Because what you know is enough. You know that God is good. You know that God is love. You know that He is with you. Regardless of what you're facing right now, God is with you. And you can have confidence in Him that He will love you and He will lead you and you will come into that place of victory that He has for you. The second thing that I want to highlight is lean into hear. And I think it's really important for us at this point in time to not become passive. It's very easy to just kind of sit back and ride through whatever is going on and just, hope it ends and we'll get to the other side, okay. I think the Lord is really wanting to emphasize prayer at this time. And I encourage you to push into prayer, push in to hear from Him. And, we live in quite a divided, contentious world at the moment that's full of fear, and there's a lot of static around. And sometimes it can feel like it's a little bit of a challenge to hear what God's saying. And even talking to different ones, it's like there's not that clarity yet on what the Lord is saying regarding what we should be doing. And when that happens, that means that we should be praying more. We need to push in more. We need to listen more. I find it fascinating that historically they talk about the silent years. And they're talking about the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there's 400 years there where supposedly God was silent. I look at the fact that you have got Simeon and you have got Anna, and they're praying and they're waiting for the revealing of the Messiah. And I believe that we have a God who whispers in the silence. And it may feel like there's not much being broadcast at the moment. But for those who have an ear to hear, I believe the Lord wants to speak to hearts. First of all, reassure us that he is with us. He's got this. Nothing takes him by surprise. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing. And he knows how to lead his people. So again, my encouragement is lean in to hear. Take the time to pray, to be sensitive to his voice and what he's saying at this time. Jeremiah 29:11. This is a verse that so many people know, but do we know it? It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Regardless of what we are facing at the moment, we have a future and we have a hope because the Lord is our hope. And again, I've put on the notes, the prayer enables us to hear what is in his heart. What is in his heart for you is good. What is in his heart for you is victory. What is in his heart for you is the overcoming of every obstacle, every difficulty, every setback that you are facing. That's what is in his heart. And he wants us to hear his heart. We need to hear his heart above doctor's reports, above a bank account balance, above the news media reports, above the fear of people who are around us. We need to hear what's in his heart. So I would encourage you, use this time wisely. Yes, we are in lockdown. We can't go far. What a fabulous opportunity that is to press in and say, God, I want to use this time to study your word, to hear your heart, to be a person of prayer. So again, my encouragement is use your time wisely. And take this opportunity because we are in a transition time. And let's be people who pray in what God's will is for this planet. Third aspect I want to highlight is walk in wisdom. The series that I did on Leavens of the Mind really was aiming at bringing us back to hearing from God and walking in wisdom and not being caught up in the thought patterns and the fear and just, as I said before, the static that is around us at the moment. And I believe that the Lord wants us to walk in wisdom. And if you weren't here on Zoom last Sunday and heard Lynn Packer's message, it's up on the website. I encourage you to listen to it. She talked about stewarding our thoughts. And that is so important if we want to be people of wisdom. Colossians 1:9 says this: "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." If you're getting into prayer and you don't know what to pray, I would highlight this verse. Pray that we may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not natural understanding, not picking up the thoughts of what this person says or what that person says, but picking up what is the Holy Spirit saying and what is the wisdom that we need to be walking in at this time. And I've put the reference there for you. Proverbs 24:3 talks about by wisdom a house is established. And I've got there, by wisdom his ways are established. And I think more than anything, what we all need at this point in time is wisdom. And the world responds to wisdom. It might not respond to an argument, but Holy Spirit anointed wisdom, yes. And we need to be people of wisdom that bring influence and impact into the world that we are living in. The fourth aspect is know your authority. And it's the aspect that I really want to highlight this morning. And we're going to take a little bit of time talking about this. And I'm sure that, you know, when we come to our discussion time afterwards, there'll be some questions and some feedback and some comments. So know your authority. Well, there's two aspects I'm going to look at. First of all is our authority as believers. And then we're going to look at levels of authority. So let's start with the first one, which is the believer's authority. Luke 10:19 says this: "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." We have authority over the power of the enemy. Sometimes we can be very conscious of the power of the enemy. We see his power to bring destruction, sickness, calamity, heartache, poverty, all kinds of things. That is the power of the enemy. And we make the mistake sometimes of looking at our own power and think, well, I don't have power to do anything. We don't have power over the devil's power. We have authority over the devil's power. Authority is different. Authority comes from God. And it's not dependent upon how powerful we feel. If you are looking at the situation that you are dealing with and you don't feel powerful enough to make a difference, don't worry about that. You don't have to feel powerful. But you do need to know your authority. And you have authority over whatever you are dealing with and facing at this point in time. Whether it's sickness, whether it's lack, whether it's confusion, depression, heartache, any of those things, you have authority over it because that authority has been given to you by the Lord. We release that authority by our words. That's why it says, speak to the mountain. We don't talk about it. We don't complain about it. We don't ask God to move it. He said, I've given you authority. We are the ones that speak to the mountain. We are the ones that stand in our authority over the power of the enemy. And the wonderful promise, nothing shall by any means hurt you. We need to stand in our authority to see the reality of that released in our life. So again, let me encourage you this morning. Know your authority, stand in your authority, and stop worrying about whether you feel powerful or not. Second aspect that I want to look at is levels of authority. And I think sometimes we don't know the different levels of authority. And hopefully this teaching this morning will bring some understanding on that. The first and highest level of authority is the word of God. And John 12:48 says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day," in the last day. The word of God is what we are judged by. It is the highest authority. And it is what we give account to. We are judged by the word. But as you'll see there, we've got number two and number three there. So what are number two and number three? Well, number two is our own conscience. Romans 2:14, again, I've given this to you in the Passion Translation, says, "For example, whenever people who don't possess the law as their birthright commit sin, it still confirms that a law is present in their conscience. For when they instinctively do what the law requires, that becomes a law to govern them, even though they don't have Mosaic law." Everybody has a conscience, and our conscience tells us what is right and what is wrong. So even in the absence of the word of God and knowledge of the word, our own conscience either tells us that we are doing right or doing wrong. And the Lord will judge people according to their conscience. So, you know, even if people don't know the word of God, they do have a conscience. And our conscience is something that we need to recognize and we need to value, because there are some things in the word that it's not particularly clear on. That's where Paul, you know, takes a whole, nearly a whole chapter to talk about eating meat offered to idols. And that, and basically he says, do what your conscience clears you to do. If it's not right with your conscience and you do it, it is sin. So our conscience will either tell us that we are doing something right or we are doing something sinful. And it's important that we listen to our conscience. So, you know, it doesn't tell us in the word of God, you know, what movies we should watch. But your conscience will tell you. If your conscience is fine watching a movie, great. If it starts to get trouble, listen to that. And don't keep watching a movie that your conscience does not agree with. We can bring that into the whole situation that we are facing at the moment with, do we get vaccinated or do we not get vaccinated? That is a conscience issue. And we've touched on that several times. And sometimes I think the trap that we fall into with something that we sense in our spirit or something that is according to our conscience is we feel the pressure to come up with a reason. No, I don't want to go to that movie. Well, why not? Oh, well, I don't know. I just don't want to go. See, our conscience doesn't necessarily have reason attached to it. But our conscience will give us, some people talk about a red light or a green light. We will know whether it's right for us or whether it's wrong for us. Don't worry about whether you can come up with a reason. Listen to your conscience, because it is to have authority in our life and it is to help guide us as to what is right and what is wrong. The third area, before we go on to that, second scripture I've got for you is actually just a couple of verses down, 1 Corinthians 4:5. "So resist the temptation to pronounce premature judgment on anything before the appointed time when all will be fully revealed. Instead, wait until the Lord makes his appearance, For he will bring all that is hidden in darkness to light and unveil every secret motive of everyone's heart. Then, when the whole truth is known, each will receive praise from God. One of the huge reasons as to why we are not to enter into judgment is because we do not see the motives of people's heart. We do not read their conscience. And only the Lord is equipped to know what is in a person's heart when they do something. And sometimes people can do something that we think is a dumb thing to do, but their motive is right. And only the Lord can judge that. And so we have to be very careful of looking at what people do and judging people according to what they do, because we don't see the heart behind it. And the Lord's saying, hey, stay out of that whole area of judgment. And sometimes judgment even shows up in the fact of labeling people. I was saying things like, oh yeah, they're part of the anti-vaxxers. What that does is it's a form of judgment because it puts people in a box that we label and therefore can discard. Oh yeah, we don't listen to them. Or they're this group. You know, I'm very conscious of labels. You know, even when people ask me, you know, well, are you Pentecostal? Are you evangelical? Are you a fundamentalist? It's like some of those labels, I'm not even sure what they mean to the person who's using them. So how do I say yes or no to that? And labeling, as I said, is a form of judgment. It's saying, well, you're in this camp and we don't belong to that camp and we're separate from you. And we live in such a divisive environment at the moment. So I would encourage you to be aware of that and to not be premature in judgment. Leave it with the Lord. When he returns, he will reveal what is in a person's heart. And he will reward us according to what's in our heart. And I'm sure all of us can say, yeah, I did this and it wasn't the right thing to do. But yeah, my heart was in the right place. And that's what the Lord looks for. He looks at our motive. He looks at what our conscience is saying when we are involved in different activities and we do different things. So that's the second level. The third level is delegated authority. And some people think this is number one. It's not. It's number three. So Romans 13, 1 and 2 says this: let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resist the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. It's a fairly heavy duty scripture, and we need to be aware of that. But I find it fascinating that Paul wrote this to those who were in Rome. Rome ruled by violence and fear. And he's saying to these believers, be subject to the governing authorities. If there was ever a time when, you know, they could have stood up and said, well, what about our rights? What about, you know, this and that? And, you know, we worry about democracy. There was no democracy when this was written. But we need to understand that delegated authority is not the highest level of authority in our life. And we will look at that shortly. But first of all, let's have a look down on verse 5-7. It says, therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, Rome could really bring that down on you, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Who wants to pay taxes? None of us. But we pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So it outlines in Romans 14 that there is delegated authority, and we need to listen to delegated authority. But it is not the highest level of authority. Even in talking here, verse 5, it talks about for our conscience sake. Our conscience is actually a higher level of authority in our life than delegated authority. Let me give you an example. Husband and wife. Husband says to the wife, we're going to do such and such. I know it's not legal, but this is what we're going to do. Her conscience gives her the right to say no. No, I do not want to do that. So our conscience has higher authority than the delegated authority in our life. And we will go on and we will have a look at an example of this within the early church. But first of all, I want to have a look at the whole area of submission and authority, because it talks about, you know, being subject, and this whole aspect of what does submission and obedience actually look like. So first word we're going to look at in responding to authority is the word submission. And it can be bandied around quite a little bit in Christian circles. So what is submission? Well, submission means to yield to another, to defer to their judgment or decision. It is a willingness to follow their leadership as long as it does not violate God's word or your conscience. Okay. So I've already given an example there of wives submit to your husband, but that does not mean that wives are to violate their conscience. No, their conscience has a higher level of authority. So they actually are able to say no. And if it's a violation of the word of God, definitely they can say no. See, submission and obedience are different. So let's have a look at obedience. The two of them are not the same, and sometimes we confuse them. Submission is an attitude, obedience is an action. Typical example would be telling a teenager to sit down. They obey and they sit down, but on the inside they're still standing up. It's like, I'm doing this, but boy, I'm not submitting to you. You can feel that difference between their obedience and their submission. Let's give another example. Let's say you are a young teenager, you love God, but your parents don't. And your parents say, I don't want you going to church. As a Christian, you are able to say to your parents, I love you and I honor you as my parents, but I am going to go to church. Submission, but not obeying. So as you can see from those two examples, submission and obedience are very different. Obedience is the outward action. Submission has to do with the attitude of our heart. And we are to keep our heart in a right place, even if there are times when our actions are not in obedience to what is being spoken and demanded of us. So let's have a look at the statement here. The only godly basis for not obeying delegated authority is the appeal to a higher law, the conscience, or the word of God. And I think this is really important for us to understand. And we're going to look, as I said, at an example in the Word of God, Acts 5, 27 to 29. And when they brought them, it's the disciples, and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name?" Obviously the name of Jesus. "And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." What we have got there is a higher law in operation, where you have the delegated authority of the high priest and the council in Jerusalem, and they're bringing in the apostles and saying, "You cannot preach in the name of Jesus." Now, Peter did not respond by saying, "Well, go jump, we'll do what we want to do." No, that would not be an attitude of submission. The attitude of submission is, I recognize who you are and I recognize your authority, but there is a higher authority than yours. And I will obey the higher authority of my conscience and the higher authority of the Word of God. And that is where Peter says, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that is who our first level of obedience is to. It's to the Lord. And we have lived in a world where our obedience to him has not been at odds with the delegated authority that is around us. But there are Christians in the world who live in that situation where to be a Christian is illegal. What it looks like for us moving forward, we don't know yet. But we do need to know what our authority is and who our allegiance is to. So let me finish. We're going to open it up for discussion, but let me come back to the four areas that I think are really important for us at this time. Number one, to know his heart. He loves us. He cares for us. Number two, to lean into hear. We need to be people of prayer, sensitive to the Spirit of God, to walk in wisdom, to know how to answer and to answer well. And number four, to know our authority and to walk in our authority and to know even those different levels of authority and how to walk in allegiance to the Lord in the midst of a changing world. So let me finish here and we're going to open it up for discussion.